You're listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the Sheffa Podcast Network. Join Rabbi Joey as he guides us through the world and major works of Kabbalah, Hasidic masters, and Jewish philosophy, shedding light on the inner life of the soul.
Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, tonight we are going to be continuing with our teachings on Rav Dov Ber Shnuri, the Mittler Rebbe, Schusia Genuleinu, Admar HaEmsai. And where we left off last time with the introductory shir with regards to who the Mittler Rebbe is, at least from the perspective that we're going to be looking at it, is that the Mittler Rebbe is very much identified with the space of Bina, with the space of the second expression, the second movement within Chassidus Chabad, which, as Rav Levi Yitzchak Schneerson, the father of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Schusa Ganalinu, pointed out, is representative of the three stages of the unfolding of existence as well as consciousness. The unfolding triadic process in which existence comes into being is what is referred to as or chayas and mayim, that there is a process of a light transitioning itself, beginning to congeal into the point that it emerges as something tangible, so to speak. And this progression is also associated with the progression from chachma into bina into das. And these three stages were the Baal HaTanya, the Mittler Rebbe, and the Tzemach Tzedek. That the Baal HaTanya was a darga of Chochma. Like we said, Rav Aaron Halevi Maestro Celia praises Rav Chaim Vital in praising his Rebbe for hiding and concealing the secrets of Keser. There are only a few paces where the Baal HaTanya speaks openly about Keser, much more in the Drushim, but as Rav Yitzchak Maya Morgenstern Shlita points out, it's in the 36th chapter of Tanya with regards to Dira B'Tachtoinim, which reveals how the bottom is in truth, what reveals the top even more. That's the secret of Aniva Ayin Bevasachas. But Bederach Klal, the Baal HaTanya is speaking in a place of Chachma. The Baal HaTanya is speaking in a place of how to come back to being a tzaddik, how to remove oneself from the confines of Bina in this world, from the space of the Beinoni, and how to remember that we have a shvua, that we're a tzaddik. And then comes along the Mittler Rebbe, and the Mittler Rebbe is an expression, a rechoyves anar, his ravchus ba'oimik ubaroichev. He takes the ideas of the Baal HaTanya, which were ba'oirich, which descended from above to below in a vertical expression, and he expands them horizontally as well as in depth. And now the horizontal expansion of a vertical idea is the ability to take the kernel of light that is expressed through the verticality of thinking, which is direct awareness of how this idea comes from above down to where I'm at right now. And to expand it means to find kelim mekelim shonim, various vessels, various mishalim, various metaphors and iterations of a singular idea over and over and over and over again in order to prove the point. That is the koyach of bina. It's riboy pratim. It's the willingness to take the klal of chachma, to take the idea of the Baal HaTanya, the osios of the Baal HaTanya, and to take the osios of the Baal HaTanya, which are the osios machkimos of Chachma, and to apply them across the roichev of the grandiosity and the grandiosity of all of the different pratim that it can be expressed in. And by creating these various mishalim, these particular nodal points of application of an idea, the idea becomes expanded, thereby allowing it to become something that a person can be misboinen on. Now, in Chassidus Chabad, his boininess is of fundamental importance. But his boininess, as the Mittler Rebbe points out in the introduction to Shar HaYichud, and as Rav Hillel Paracher points out explicitly in his remarkable, nearly miraculous Hagos on Shar HaYichud, is that his boininess is something associated with Bina, as we see. It's the language of Bina. that by the Balatanya there was an expression of the ideas, and obviously the avoda was to be misboining on the ideas v'hashevois levavecha, and to bring it down into the heart, as the Balatanya spends so much time explaining to us in Shar Hayichud v'Emuna. But the expression and the expansivity of the ability to be mizboinein, to think bi'iyun with the intensity of the mind, not to utilize the watery expression of the mind, which is the clarity and the calmness of mayim, which is associated with the chachma of the Balatanya, which comes from above to below, but rather to engage with the eish of the Mittler Rebbe, that eish of the Sha'arei Bina that allows me to break open that original klal and apply it across the myriad explanations and metaphors that allows me to now be misboining on it. Now, Bina is a sight, and we've spoken about Bina very often, and again, we have to enter into it to properly appreciate what we're seeing in the Mittler Rebbe, that in relationship to the Chachma of the Balatanya, the Bina of the Mittler Rebbe needs to be understood in the light of the halachos of Bina, as we understand it from the Zohar HaKadosh, and as we understand it from Kitzvei HaAriZal and Chazal itself. Bina is Havanas HaDavar Mitoch Davar. It is the breaking apart of original whole to give birth to various parts, understanding something from within itself. Meaning to say, prior to the act of understanding, that idea was a wholeness of an idea. It was a postulate without any differentiation. To be maven davar mitoich davar means to find a new idea within the original expression of chachma, and now allowing it to double itself and give birth to more ideas. That's havanas hadavar mitoich davar. It's a breaking apart of the davar to uncover more davarim in there. This is why Chazal say bina miklal deta'a, that when we apply the language of bina or understanding to somebody, the implication must be that they are emerging out of a previous mistaken way of looking at something. Because the mistake and the takala and the inability to look at the idea in its simple unified form is the birthplace of where bina comes from. This is why bina is associated with tshuva, as we're going to see. It's the sha'arim of bina, which mean that I have to enter into a place. The expression of Bina is Havchana, making a distinction, Svei Dinim. It's originally one thing and now it's two things, which is what the Mittler Rebbe was. And we see this actually very powerfully, because what we know, and we're not going to discuss it too much, because Be'ezras Hashem, we're going to give a series of shirim on Rav Aaron Halevi Maestro Selya on its own, but Rav Aaron Halevi Maestro Selya, who was the Talmud Mufak of the Balatanya and a best friend of the Mittler Rebbe, both of them were hand in hand in the Avoda of the Balatanya, up to a certain point where externally there was a splitting, but internally, obviously, we have to understand that any distinction between Tzaddikim Amitim that we're discussing needs to be understood in the most humble of ways, that any application of human understanding or the psychologization of why this tzaddik, especially tzaddikim amitim like Rav Aaron Halevi and the Mittler Rebbe, we have to be very careful never to impose our own psychologization onto the tzaddikim. We have the ability to interpret by guarding the notion that we don't really know what was going on. But as Rabbi Nachman says over and over, when two tzaddikim amitim encounter one another in a pagisha, the only thing to do is stand back and watch and try and see the sha'ashuim and the oireis that emerge from such a pagisha. But the very fact that the Balatanya was a chachma and the Mittler Rebbe was a bina, and so was Rav Aaron Halevi, although they were different expressions of Bina. Bina, by definition, splits into two. Achas dibur eloikim shtayim zu shamati. Ki'ilu, that the chachma is the dibur eloikim, which is the or of the Balatanya, which is the or of chachma, which is a singular whole. Shtayim zu shamati. It naturally, by definition, needs to split into two different zramim, which gives us the Mittler Rebbe and Rav Aaron Halevi, who together reveal to us an or of das that's oyla ad keser. With regards to Rav Aaron Halevi Maestro Selya, famously we know that when the Mittler Rebbe would be davening Ana B'Koyach and the Shem Membeis, when he would say, Na Gibor Dor She'echudcha Kevavat Shamrim, now please God, guard the seekers of your unity like the apple of your eye. Protect those who dive deeply into the unity of you. Protect them and ensure that they don't deviate and ensure that they're able to live in this world with that awareness. The Mittler Rebbe loved Rav Aaron Halevi. But either way we look at that process or that machlokas, what we have to understand is that it is a natural outgrowth of the fact that we are already operating in the world of Bina, that it naturally splits into two. It's a havchanas hadvarim, hamavchin ben yom uvein laila. Now, Bina is an interesting thing because Bina, as we know, as the Baal HaTanya points out explicitly, as the Arizal points out, Bina is Gar. Gar is the Gimel Reishin. It's still in the mind. It's still a state and a mode of consciousness, which means that it is separate and apart from the seven gradations of emotional experience, so to speak, which are susceptible and liable to shattering because they shattered in the Shvirat HaKelim, in the original cataclysmic trauma that gave birth to existence. There's a distinction made between the 10 spheros that comprise any unit or any parts of or any entity in this world. It's a category of Gar and Zat, the three heads and the seven lower expressions. The three heads are modes of consciousness, and the seven expressions are modes of emotionality. And there's different halachos that apply, as we see in all of the Svarim HaKadoshim, to both categories. The category of Gar, the category of Chachma, Bina, and Das, or Keser, Chachma, and Bina, depending on how you want to look at it. But for our purposes, we're going to be working with the Chachma, Bina, and the Das. That at the level of Gar, there's no Shvira, there's no shattering, there's no trauma, there's no brokenness. There's an expression of light that is balanced. It is a site where a person is capable of encountering things in their objective forms, where we're able to idealize reality and live in a place of either Chachma, which is the Barak HaMavrik, which is the thunderbolt of thought that emerges in a full picture but dissipates as quickly as it came. Bina, the ability to kind of differentiate from that original whole but to make room and to allow it to grow. And Das would be the integration of that idea and transforming it into a place of emotions. But by Gar, there's no Shira. By the Zayin Tachtoina, by Chesed, Gvura, Tferes, Netzachoy, Yisoid, and Malchus, by the experience of loving kindness, by the fear and the restriction that we apply to ourselves, by the beautification that we apply to ourselves, and the beauty and the grandeur we see in this world, from our desire to be powerful and overcome preventions, from our willingness to engage with Hod, which is a gratitude in the face of powerlessness, the aspect of Yisod, which is connectivity to an essential point, and Malchus, which is the bare presence of the individual, those seven lower spheros are susceptible to all sorts of pollution and destruction and cataclysmic shattering that needs all sorts of rectification and elevation, etc. And so what we have is that the halachos of the Moichin are that they're purified and they're not broken. There's no need to work on them. And the halachos of the Midos is that they're broken and there's an immense need to work on them. But when we come to Bina, when we come to the Moich of Bina, when we come to the left brain of Bina that differentiates, what we find is that while on the one hand, it is the site of absolute unity because it's still relevant to the world of Gimel Reishin, it's a moyach, it's a place of connection, it's beyond this world, it's a place of an oceanic sense of being at one in the womb of existence, that Eim HaBanim Smecha. But on the other hand, it's also the birthplace of separation because Bina is identified as the mother, and the mother, so to speak, is the origination point of the children that come about afterwards. And the children, the son and the daughter and all of the various expressions, that's already where the breaking takes place. And if the breaking takes place in the children, then l'chayro, what we have to be able to identify is the source of that breakage already within the mother and the father themselves, because this is a klal gadol. When it comes to Pnimiyas HaTorah, what you see as a symptom needs to be found in the core itself, because symptoms are only further expressions of something that is existing in the core. And in the core, it exists by way of calmness, but nevertheless, what we see in an outgrowth of the Zayin Tachtoinim, of the lower spheros, we have to be able to identify the germ cell of it, or the potential state of it, already within the Moichin themselves. And so when we come to Bina, we find the stira in the sense that on the one hand, it's rachamim rabim. On the one hand, it's complete compassion. It's a womb of forgiveness. It's a place of tshuva gemura. It's an alma d'cherus. It's a world of freedom and connectivity. On the other hand, dinin misabrin minei, it is the origination point where severity begins to emerge into the world, and that severity manifests in all forms of severity, in all the shverkeit that we spoke about, the Mittler Rebbe trying to be empathic with, not trying to be, but in honest, empathic joining with his Hasidim, truly was able to identify and elevate. So Bina, on the one hand, is the site of rachamim rabim, of calmness, of unity, of joy, Eim HaBanim Smecha. But at the same point, it's the birthplace of severity. And in truth, the secret or the impossible secret of Bina is that it combines those two oppositional expressions within itself. On the one hand, Bina is relegated to the space of the Moichin, where it is purified and rarefied and free from any of the confines of human experience and all of the various emotional intensities that come from it. But on the other hand, it is seen and identifiable as a traceable source of where all of the difficulty of being human comes from. And the Zohar HaKadosh explains this very powerfully, where it describes that the name of God associated with the world of Bina is the Shem Havaya. The Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, represents Rachamim Gemurim, Hayohi Vaviyyeh, all seen in the one fell swoop of the connectivity of the fragmentation that we live in, bringing things back up to its unified source. But it's the Shem Havaya with the Nekudos of the Shem Elohim. And the Shem Elohim represents severity, it represents Teva, it represents this worldliness and its concealment, almost the opposite, so to speak, at least at first glance, from the Shem Havaya. And what we find in the impossible paradox in the womb of Bina is that it's the Shem Havaya on the one hand, which means that it's Rachamim Rabbim, associated with all the synonyms that we would identify with that unity and that joy, etc. But at the same point, it's the birthplace of the Nekudos of Elohim, which is the emergence of all of the synonyms that we would identify as intensity and severity. And again, to bring it back to exactly where I want to go, or I want to try and go tonight, is that let's identify Bina, on the one hand, as a place of simcha, eim habanim smecha, a place of cheiros, a place of a sense of wholeness. To live in a world with a sense of wholeness and completion is a place of simcha. That's where simcha emerges from. Yet on the other hand, it's also the birthplace of a severity of self. It's a birthplace of nothing that can be referred to as sadness, God forbid, because sadness and those human experiences are fallen expressions already relegated to the world of the lower seven spheros. But there is an emergence of the possibility of despondency and melancholia in its rarefied form, removed from any of the pathology, that is born in the space of Bina. So that Bina, in spite of the fact that it's a place of joy, contentment, presence, wholeness, at the same point, it's also the birthplace of the potential towards what we will roughly translate as melancholia. Melancholia, and over here we have to make a fundamental distinction which is rooted in the writings of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, as well as the writings of the Baal HaTanya, the Sari Meos and the Sari Alafim unified together as they should be, the Baal HaTanya and Rabbi Nachman, is that there is a fundamental distinction that must be made between the language of the emotion associated with despondency. There is Marashoira, which is what we may identify as some pathological form of a depressive attitude. Again, we're not speaking clinical whatsoever over here, but a depressive kind of posture that sees the negative and lives in the negative and is unable to break free of that negative, where the negative gives way to some sense of hopelessness, God forbid, or to some sense of inactivity, where the body is overwhelmed by the intensity or the lack of vitality. That is what might be referred to, utilizing a Cartesian theory of humors, as marashchira, as a depressive kind of tendency. Again, to differentiate very quickly from any discussion of any actual diagnostic or clinical categories. And in contradistinction to that dangerous place and that negative experience of marashchira in its pathological expression, is something referred to as meriris, a certain bitterness, a certain awareness of the intensity of experience. That the bitterness, the severity, and we've spoken about this so often when it comes to the shurish of gevuros and their source, but the meriris here is a hiskavsutz, it's a contraction into the self. It is an intensification of experience that allows me to feel myself in this world in its fullness, with all of the vicissitudes of what it means to be human, with all of the symptoms of what it means to be a soul that is very well aware that it is a soul, yet at the same point, very well aware that it is stuck in the confines of a body, and perpetually engaged in one level or another between this back and forth, nearly existential battle between the desires of the soul that seek to ascend upwards beyond the confines of stuckness and the grossness of the body that seeks to drag us back down into the physicality of this world. Born out of that perpetual confrontation between spirit and matter, between Ruhani and Gashmi, is an emergence of a feeling of an intensity and a severity where an individual feels that in this world, in order to get by, I need to give every ounce of my energy. I need to offer myself over completely into this moment with every ounce of my strength. And just as an individual who, when clenching their fists, gathers together all of the various strengths that existed in a potential form within the arm itself, so to speak, that act of gathering, that act of hiskavtsuts, of minimizing the territory in which that potential expression of strength can be expressed and reducing it to one particular and intense point, that is an act of gevura and that is an act of mariras. This is something that is associated with why the Balatani describes that what there's two types of matmoinim, there's two types of ta'amim, of tastes in this world. There's a sweet taste, there's a pleasant taste, which elicits a pleasure. But then there's a bitter taste. There's something that is bitter that creates a certain intensity within the mouth that points towards a deeper form of experience. Yes, it's a more intense form of experience. It's not as pleasant, but it is a deeper expression of the essence of self in a way that calmness, joy, without any intensity can ever be capable of expressing. And in this paradoxical space of, on the one hand, needing to identify in our lives the absolute and unbridled joy and courage and optimism associated with a moyach of bina, at the same point, we're encountering the necessity of a marirus, which is some sort of a philosophical, so to speak, pessimism of seeing the world as it is and being aware of the confines. And my feeling and my limited understanding is that the Mittler Rebbe, Zchuseo Gan Aleinu, is one of the greatest spokespeople, one of the greatest tzaddikim to ever really offer us a taste of what it means to understand that role of merirus, of that melancholia in its philosophical and idealized form, and the role that it plays in Avodas Hashem and the necessity that it plays in Avodas Hashem. What we're going to try and do is we're going to look at Makoros. Like I said, in this year, I want to show from the Osios of the Mittler Rebbe. And again, the Makoros that we're choosing are not the only Makoros that there are. And obviously, there are going to be other Makoros that speak against this. But in truth, we have to be able to identify our own permission to read the Tzaddikim with honesty, but in the way that our heart directs us to read it. Nobody is claiming ever. I'm certainly not claiming that this is what the Mittler Rebbe meant. I'm claiming that this is what I understand in my personal understanding what the Mittler Rebbe meant. And so the first Makor is something that we've spoken about in the past. This is brought down in Kuntres HaEspalus, something that we're going to spend a lot of time discussing, Be'ezras Hashem. And I want to read the words kind of explicitly so that we can really see what the Mittler Rebbe is saying. And this is on Daf Kuf Samech Ches and Kuf Samech Tes in the Mamre Admor Hazak in Kuntresim, which is where we find Kuntres HaEspalus. The Mittler Rebbe says as follows, and this is part of a discussion in terms of how one can begin the process of understanding the secrets of Torah. Zot the Mittler Rebbe, V'davar ze shamati b'peirush mepi avi moiri sheshoma b'zehaloshen me'arav ha'magid za. And this is exactly what I heard from my father, the Balatanya, who heard it in this language from his Rebbe, the Magid of Mizrich. Shelo yochel odnam lavo lekabalas amisus razan da araisa vahasagas amukos haamitius beor ein sof ad sheyukva benefesh mamish. That a person cannot come to a place of actual receptivity in the deepest, most authentic way of the secrets of Torah and the depth of what it means to grasp the essence and the truth of the infinite light at the core of our souls, bilti im yeshbo hamara shchira hativis v'ha'atzmi shemushreshes bo me ne'urav davka. Unless a person has a natural proclivity towards the natural and Heilig form of Marashchoira that has been rooted in them from their youth. And again, the Mittler Rebbe is not saying Marashchoira, which we identified as the pathological emergence of a sadness that takes a person away from godliness, God forbid. But rather, he's referring to Marashchoira hativis v'ha'atzmis ha'mishroshes by min urav davka, the germ cell of these emotions, the simple awareness of being human, which is the birthplace of the potential towards this type of sadness, God forbid. But we're talking on a level of an idealized form of this type of awareness of the potential towards melancholia, which has yet to emerge, God forbid, into symptoms that are bothersome. V'davka b'b'chinas ha'hayuli shabo ha'klali. And the Mittler Rebbe is saying, he says, I'm not celebrating pathology here, God forbid. I mean specifically in the unformed, unmanifested root form of it. Belashen Ashkenaz Anshanze. V'imhu la'oimek ha'amisas dafka. And only if this is truly, truly felt in the most authentic, unmotivated by any external desires type of way. Dahainu tzabrachen kaisa amiti b'teva. Which means to say the natural proclivity towards a tzabrachenkeit, towards a spiritual brokenness that leads to that very understandable sigh that a yid has in this world sometimes. Ad shemoyas mamish b'chayiv b'tmidis b'chol sha'a. Until every moment of awareness in this world, every moment of consciousness is marked as well by a certain desire to reach back up to heaven and no longer be stuck in the confines of the guf. This merirus, this bitterness emerges out of the recognition that I am in a place that I don't necessarily feel that is most productive to the development of my neshama. And when the neshama feels confined and it feels limited or rooted in a place that is unconducive to its growth, the natural desire is going to be a tenua, a movement back up to a source. And every tenua, every movement already implies a distancing from my original place, which means that it's an act of severity that's trying to break free from where I'm at and move back upwards. What the Mittler Rebbe is referring to is ad shemoyes mamish b'chayev b'tmidis b'chol shav v'shav. Az yishkain boi memekor kol chayim mekor dekula lach yisroch nedochim. At that point, only when a person has fully cultivated this type of inner experience of the marashchoira hativis amushrash by min urav, the proclivity to the sensitivity of what it means to be human and to taste the bitterness of this world without chewing too long on the marah, but recognizing the fundamental need for the marah itself, at that point, the person is capable of uncovering the true depth of the life-giving source of pnimiyas haTorah that can give birth to the soul. Like the Pasuk says, Esmi Ashkoin es dacha v'shafal ruach. Who will I rest with, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the individual is of a lowly and beaten down spirit. B'choyel asher hu oisen, every aspect of what a person does. Im b'hizboinunas b'razen d'ayraisa, whether I am sitting there contemplating the secrets of Torah. Moisrim b'nafshu b'gile amisas im libo doig b'kirbo. The only way that I am going to merit this, as Chazal tell us, the only way that I can uncover the secret of the Merkava, is if I have a heart that is worried within me, a heart that is worried within me. And when I engage in this, this mara ashchira tivis, this natural proclivity towards melancholy or sadness, is going to be transformed l'simcha v'oinig. It's going to be transformed into the very site where joy emerges from. Joy is not the negation of that melancholic spirit. Joy is what emerges when a person encounters that rooted melancholia within the self, and we force ourselves to find the joy that rests at the end of that tunnel. And at that point, a person has the ability to have elikus shaira al nafshe mamish. So we see from the Mittler Rebbe, and the Mittler Rebbe brings us down as well in Shah Yichud, what we see from the Mittler Rebbe is that there's a real necessity for a person to look at this world, especially from a perspective of Bina, and to see the differentiation, and to see the separation, and to see the particularization, and to see all of the symptoms that are associated with Bina, the Shvira of it, the brokenness of it. But again, it's not to pathologize and it's not to celebrate sadness, God forbid. It's to recognize that in its root form, there is a certain spirit of sobriety, of a seriousness, of a severity at the heart of what it means to be a Jew in this world, at the heart of what it means to be a contemplative individual in this world. That the act of contemplation demands an act of restricting the mind from expanding into all of the territories that it would like to go, which is an act of tzimtzum, which is associated with gvura, which is emergent from bina. But the very act of the contemplation itself is the emergence of these experiences, the encounter of the neshama in the confines of reality, where the confines of reality are then transformed immediately to become vessels of revealing a light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Baal HaTanya says in the name of the Zohar HaKadosh, that each and every yid needs to live with chedva tekua meliba misitrada, v'bechia tekua meliba misitrada. That every Jew has to learn how to live with the paradox of joy engraved into one element of my heart and a certain bechia, a cry, a desire to move back from the concealment of this world, back upwards out of this existential cry that is emergent from the spirit at every second that it is aware from its distance from God. Both need to be operant at the same point. And here's the next makor that I would like to bring, because the Mittler Rebbe is very careful. Very careful that a person should never, chas v'shalom, allow that merirus, that tzebrochenkeit, to overpower the belief in the chesed and the simcha of this world. That, like we said, bina is a trei hafachim b'noisa echad. It is a pella. It is a hiskalus of keser. And because it's a hiskalus of the midah of keser, it means that it combines oppositions within itself in an impossible paradoxical dance where each side of the paradox upholds the other side with neither overpowering the other. The moment one overpowers the other is the moment that that delicate paradoxical dance that upholds the entire system is no longer a paradox. It's now settled by one overpowering the other. And so the Mittler Rebbe also, from a psychological perspective, Lahavdil, is very well aware of the dangers and the all too natural human dangers of celebrating this pessimistic outlook that allows me to be aware of the difficulty of what it means to be a human being in this world. To have libo doi bekirbo, to be a ben adam and say, are you kidding me? This is where we're at? This is the world that we're supposed to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in? This is the perfect world HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created? From a perspective of bina, there's a willingness to question reality. Chakira v'drisha v'she'ela are things that are rooted in bina. By the level of chachma, it's a koyach ma, it's the power of what, meaning I can't ask anything, because in the end of the day, at the end of any question, the answer will be, what do I even know? I don't know anything to be able to question. Bina, however, is kayim l'shayla. The Zohar HaKadosh says we're allowed to ask there. And that's the birthplace of the Jewish ability to ask the question on the Welt and to say, is this really it? This source of melancholia that exists at the heart of each and every Yid that emerges as a motivating, instigating factor in our process of coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Mittler Rebbe is very delicate. He says, do not overpower one over the other. Do not take this merirus and run with it. Do not chew the maror, God forbid, because this maror shchera hativis can very naturally become a marashchaira that becomes pathological, God forbid, which the Mittler Rebbe was dealing with. In his time, the Hasidim were feeling this. And that was the empathy of the Mittler Rebbe, to enter into that place and not say, stop being sad, stop having marirus. He understood the job of bina, the job of the expression of bina is to be mamtik the marirus, is to elevate the marirus back up to its true source. And we see this very clearly in Ner Mitzvah B'Torah Or in Shara Yichud on Kuf Yud Gimel. The Mittler Rebbe says as follows, V'hine yadua ha-maimer. And we know the statement from the Zohar HaKadosh that's brought down in the Tanya Kadisha, D'bechia takibe ben litzor besitrada, v'chedva besitrada, that there is a sadness, there is a melancholia, there is a crying out from below back to above, enrooted in the heart on this side, and there's a joy enrooted in the heart on the other side. Liyos shetzarech lahaktim b'chinas achona b'nefesh l'klolus ha'yadiyah ha'elikus b'ishtalshlus d'orin soif b'abiyah ad sh'teya nefesh b'chinas kli mucham l'zeh. That what a person needs to do is a person needs to prepare themselves, a preparation, a psychological preparation, to be ready, to be a receptacle, to understand the full expression of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself in this world. The unfolding of reality from the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that existed prior to the Tzimtzum, the Or Ein Sof, through the emergence of Adam Kadma and Atzilus, Briya, Yetzira, and Asiya. Ad shetehe ha-nefesh b'chinas kli mucham l'zeh. The soul has to be prepared. If I learn Kabbalah without chasidus, then my soul is not necessarily prepared to receive all of the ras and darais. So my mind is prepared to understand the pratim. It's like a mathematical problem, Hafdil. But it's only with chasidus and a deep investigation, investment into panemius, where the nefesh is now meichin itself. I am prepared to receive these ideas to allow them to have a benefit on me. V'ze'eino ela ayidei emtsos beiz devarim halalu. The only way to properly prepare myself is with the introduction of these two experiences, bechia v'chedva, sadness and joy, crying and laughter. Gam shehin beis hafachim, even though they are two opposites, hare ba'im ke'echad mamish, both of them emerge within the spirit as one. May his bainanus achas datka. Specifically, anytime I contemplate my role in this world as a neshama in a world of separation, I am going to experience these two dual pulsational emotions at the heart of my experience, a sadness, a marirushkeit, a bitterness over the distance, as well as a chedva and a joy over my ability to come close. Umize nase dafka b'chinas hachana rabba b'nefesh. L'kvoya b'atzmiyus shaloi mikol asogos pratim dorein soif b'abiyah. And this is the only way that I'm going to be able to begin to understand Panimiyas HaTorah properly. And when a person is able to experience these things, when a person is able to feel both of these things, at that point it means that a person is able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How is it possible? How is it possible? Acha inyan hu, the truth of the matter is, ki yadua, shebechol davar yesh hifucho, everything in this world is contained and comprised by its opposite. V'gam shenigla lihipucho mamish, and even though both of them express themselves by way of opposition, this joy and this sadness, meriris and simcha, adar abba mizeh atzma nira la'ayin shekol koyecha ina barak mikoyecha menagin mamish. When a person is capable of seeing the oppositional, pulsational dance between sadness and joy, between that proclivity towards melancholia and the awareness of our stuckness in this world, and at the very same moment we experience the joy of what it means to be in a neshama beguf and to have the opportunity to be megalek v'od shemayim down here, b'dir b'tachtoinim, we come to understand that both of these are the birthplace of each other, davar echad mamishu, k'may ha'oinig v'hatsar, like joy and pleasure. The fact that they're unified, this sadness and this joy, they're unified, but they split into two equal lines, mamish shavin, v'shekulin bilti yita koyach kav alech avabez, and they are equal in all matters of equality, with neither of them overpowering the other one. Afilu kekutzel shel yud. So too with regards to the chedva and the bechiyah, that a person needs to experience the shekulin ma'oid b'shav. A person needs to experience these feelings in a singular way, which means to say that our awareness from a perspective of Bina, what the Mittler Rebbe is going to talk so much about, is that by going into the limitation, by going into the sources of the Bechia, by going into that place where the presence of godliness appears to be distant, it is that very place, that very awareness, that descent into Bina, that descent into a world of tshuva, that will allow me to come out and reveal a joy that could not have been present had I not experienced the other half of this as well. A person needs to experience both of these emotions. This is the secret of Bina. This is the secret of what it means to experience the descent into these lowly places, into that place of melancholia, and to have a sober joy, a melancholic joy that does not ignore, suppress, or repress the issues in the world. That's an avoida of chachma. In the avoida of bina, there is an acknowledgement of the pratim. There is an acknowledgement of the necessity of those melancholic-induced experiences of life. But it always needs to be held directly together with the belief that this is going to bring me to a deeper place of bittul, to a deeper place of joy. Because these two expressions in the self are rooted, as the Mittler Rebbe expresses over and over and over again, they are rooted in what? They are rooted in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Simsim and Kav, Chesed and Gevura, Orus and Kalim, lights and vessels. Both are these expressions of Bechia and Chedva, of the points where things feel like they're flowing without limitation, and the point where things are limitation without any flow. And it's the unification, the middle point, the Mittler point of these two elements that gives birth to this melancholic joy, this paradox of experience, which looks out onto the world of separation with a sobriety and a seriousness. But at the core of that seriousness is a deep hidden joy that takes pleasure in the simple fact that it is specifically here that I can uncover this place. Listen to what the Mittler Rebbe says about encountering Choshech in this world. And this is from Torah Chaim and Parshas Noach. Again, we can choose many, many sources to explain this. When a person finds himself stuck in darkness, it's specifically from finding myself in the choshech that gives me the ability to desire to run away from it. Through the burning desire of self that emerges with an intense yearning towards something. And this yearning comes about by way of this intense bitterness. Like we described with regards to Galus Mitzrayim, where the Pasuk says, Vayimaru es chayehim, that it was the Merirus that gave birth to the Geula. Mitzad goydel oitzem arichuk me Hashem. When a person finds themselves stuck in this distance from God, biyiridus hanefesh b'choshech gadol, the descent of the soul into a deep darkness, kol kach v'ayidei zed davka tuchal hanefesh la'alois lavu l'davik b'Hashem echad mamish shalamala gam meziv v'ord b'chinas ha'malchus mekor mechzav v'nesham. And it's specifically from the confinement and the intensification of experience and the reduction of presence of godliness in this world that allows me to move upwards to a more intense expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one that I wouldn't have been able to uncover had it not been for this experience. Because the intense burning desire of love that emerges from the great distance that a person feels, which is the aspect Sezeu Kamei Cheiles Ahava, which is like a love sickness that wants so badly to be in a place of unity, to be in a place of calmness, that any moment of discrepancy or constriction is going to be something that pushes me out of my kelim. Ki cholas ava ani begalusa dafka, specifically in galus, shu'esh shchira, this is the black fire. Hari vada yava lo yisra na'or min ha'choshech. At this point, we'll understand the secret of the pasuk in Kehelet that says there is a benefit in enlargement of the light out of the darkness. But Zakta Mitla Rebbe, there's two ways to understand this emergence of light that comes out of darkness. The first one is Mipnei Shekasher Tachshay Kaneshom Latzis Menachoyishak Agas Haribot Chuka Zois B'Tag Buras Gadoy Lebiot Harbe Mikmay Shahay Loi Chuka Mitzad Koyach Atzma B'Hasagas V'Esbainus B'Seivik Kalamun Malklam. That naturally speaking, when a person encounters this constriction of the self, the desire to leave that and to grab hold of the light of godliness, of Saiviv Kalaman and Mamala Kalaman, is going to be with more intensity, because in correspondence with the difficulty, so too the desire to break free of that difficulty. Vim kein ikra chuka zois eina elu ledavka b'muhus atzmus yisparach davka. V'loi tachshuk b'gan eidana elyu n'gan eidana takdoin. I don't want anything but you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Balatani would say in the moments of Dveikus, that I don't want anything but you. That comes about by what? That comes about by the fact that I feel stuck. But then there's another way that the Yisran Ha'orim and Ha'choshech comes about. And over here, the Mitla Rebbe is going to let us in on a secret. Mitla Rebbe says as follows. There's a desire for a person to run directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is referred to as an Or Choizer, a light that returns back up to its source and even higher, the essence of godliness, which comes about specifically when a person is able to look at the darkness in one's life, when a person is able to contemplate the constriction and transform the constriction itself, transform the bitterness itself into an experience of godliness in this world. That the Merirus, the Marashchaira Tivis, this melancholic joy that the Mitla Rebbe seems to be opening up for us, is the recognition that wherever I find myself in the confines of Choshech and the Merirus and the Pratim of it all, it is specifically there, Daika Misham, that I have the ability to be Mahapech Zayin. This is what the Mitla Rebbe describes based on the Zohar. The Tachlis of Mashiach is going to bring the Tzadikim to a place of Tshuva, to teach the Tzadikim the benefit of being able to do Tshuva. Because only the Baal Tshuva understands how I can uncover a divine light specifically in a place where it appears to be opposite. Again, this idea, the Nazir HaKadosh, Rav David Cohen, and there's a new edition of Kol HaNevuah. Listen to what he says. Hashimiyut b'chassidus Chabad, inner audio experience in chassidus Chabad. Again, Bina is a hearing. Chachma is a seeing. Bina is an inner hearing. In order for a cold to be revealed internally, there needs to be some echo as well. There needs to be a balance. And he says as follows. He says, Hashimiyut ha-hegyoina keshura l'musar. An inner audio experience is naturally connected to the desire of the self to better itself. to pull itself out of a stuckness. It's pessimy. There's a certain pessimism. I need to change where I'm at. Tahor mezukkak. It's a purified form of pessimism. Bebitul hagamer shel hayesh. Without any of the pathology of getting caught up in my own selfhood of it. Hanira. And it emerges how? Al yidei yisurin shel ahava. It emerges from the suffering that I encounter as a result of my deep love. Hamahapeches es amariris. That transforms the bitterness. Hapessimis. It transforms pessimism. L'chedveha elyona. To an elevated sight of joy. Shelo yuchal adam lavo lekabalas amisas razum daresav asagas amukas amisas borin sof. And here the Nazir is quoting from the Mittler Rebbe that we just read. Unless a person has that natural proclivity to marish toira. That's what it means. A person needs to embrace, to a certain degree, the natural pessimism that emerges by being a human being in this world. And it's specifically from that place that we're going to be able to uncover the deepest light of joy. Not to get caught, God forbid, in the pessimism for even a second. Without the secondary level of joy, that gives birth to a third experience that is higher than those two expressions. And to bring it into Purim, and obviously the whole Inyan of Purim is very much connected to the idea of Bina. V'nahapaychu, the Arizal says that who is Bina, and that's the Saris of the Hippuch, because Bina is the one that's capable of seeing the good and the bad, and the bad and the good. The whole Inyan of the Eitz Gavoa, Chamishim Amma, the Nun Shari Bina, the whole Avoida of Esther Amalka, of Mordechai Atzadik, is to be Mahapech the Merirus, to be Mahapech that bitterness into a place of unbridled joy. And again, we see this in the Rebbe throughout, in his Drushim on Esav, in his Drushim on Shvira and Tikkun, and how that which is broken is higher than that which is fixed. So listen to the words of the Mittler Rebbe in Shari Oira and Shar HaPurim on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. V'zeu ma'asha amru razal, this is what Chazal say, Mordechai min HaTorah minayin, where do we find the redemption of Purim? Where do we see Mordechai in the Torah? Dichsiv mar dror, that the name Mordechai is associated with the language of mar dror. Matargim in Marya Dachya, Marya, which is the language of Merirus. Marya Dachya b'chinas Merirus, says the Mittler Rebbe. It's this aspect of bitterness. Shemimokom tahor, but it's a bitterness that comes from a purified place. It's not an impure bitterness. It's the purification of bitterness that comes about by being a ben adam in this world. The differentiation and the particularization of existence, the measurements of halacha, all of that emerges out of the confines of this worldliness, which is the source of the merirus. But it's specifically these halachos that are born out of the constriction of this world, out of the definition of this world, which is rooted in Gevura. It's specifically that expression that gives me the ability to come up to a higher place than I would have been able to without the minimization, without the gasis of Olam Hazeh. That's referred to as a mar. That's referred to as a bitter place, and the aspect of Gluros Kashos de Noga, of the expressions of those severe judgments associated with Noiga, where we see that the Pasuk says, Ashkoiles Meruros, that the world is simply a collection of bitterness. The Chola Torah Hu, and what's the Tachlis of the Torah? La'ahavcha Meriru Lamatiku, to transform that bitterness into a sweetness. This language of La'ahavcha Meru Lematiku is taken from the Hakdama to the Zohar HaKadosh, where Rav Chiya was begging to get into the celestial chambers of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his Chavraya, to join the Chavraya Kadisha. And what he overheard was, Man Minhoin, who amongst you has understood the secret of being Mahapech Meriru Lematiku? Who here has understood the secret of transforming bitterness into sweetness? And it doesn't necessarily mean getting rid of bitterness and moving into sweetness. It means finding the sweetness of the heart of bitterness itself, who transforms Meriru Lamatiku, meaning to say to be Metaher the Tumma itself. Because all Tumma and Tahara, all of that comes about by way of the separations in this world. And those separations give birth to the clarifications, the Birurim, the Bechinas, Meriru Denoga. Im Kain, therefore, Mordechai was referred to as Mar Yadachya, the aspect of bitterness that comes from a holy and purified place. And it's this Merirus that gives us the ability to come to a higher place than we could have ever imagined beforehand. This Avoida, Rav Hillel of Parach says that based on these teachings of Ein Moisrin Torah El Lamisha Loi Libodoi Bekirbo, that this gives Rishus to an Avel, to learn Panimiyas HaTorah. Even though an Avil is not supposed to be learning Torah, Rav Hillel Parcher says that you can learn Panimiyas and Razin HaTorah on Tisha B'Av, and you can learn it in Avelis, God forbid, because the tachlis of Panimiyas HaTorah is to help cultivate the proper space of this melancholic edge that exists within the heart of a Jew in this world. If we pay attention to any moment of our lives with authenticity, we encounter that place. And it becomes the source of a redoubling of light. It becomes a doubling of joy. It becomes a doubling and a reintensification of joy. This is the Yayin HaMeriru that we drink on Purim, that bitter wine that allows us to uncover the Resicha Sadamim, the intensification of self, that inner experience of whether it's sober intoxication or intoxicated sobriety, however a person wants to look at it, but it's a movement, it's a gevura that gives birth to the light of Bina that is even higher than Chachma. And like the Mittler Rebbe describes, and we're going to go deeply into these sugyos, but specifically when I go down into the inner world of another person, when I can empathize, when I can understand the heart of my own experience, when I can listen to the heart and I can hear the pessimism of the heart, it's at that point that I can begin to live this impossible space of the bechia and the chedva that are mekusharim yachad b'tachlis ahiduk, where the bitterness motivates the joy and the joy motivates the bitterness ad ein soif mamish. Rooted in the fact, like the Baal HaTanya said, that I don't want any giluyim Rabbeinu Shlalem, I just want you, I just want you. And like we said last week, when a person feels that bitterness, when a person feels, like Rabbi Nachman says, that the ikar tachlis of everything is mebeten sha'ol sha'avasi, that I cry out from the pit of the abyss. When a person is able to understand that, when a person is able to feel the merirus of the richuk, at that moment a person has now become a kli ro'i to receive the Torah HaKadosha. Rabbi Yitzchak Meir Morgenstern Shlita brought, and we spoke about this in Iyat Kislev Drasha, that on the one hand we find the steer with the regards to the Baal HaTanya. During or even before the Baal HaTanya's encapturement in prison, so the Baal HaTanya had already said that he had reached a place where he no longer tasted a tam gashmi in food. He had refined himself to such a degree that he was no longer caught up in the particular tastes of a sensual experience. But at the same point, when he asked for food after his yitziah from the maasar, he asked for bitter food. He asked for something mar. And so there's a stira. On the one hand, he's not tasting anything anymore, so why ask for a particular taste? Zat Rav Yitzchak Meir Morgenstern Shlita, that what the Baal HaTanya wanted to hint to was the fact that we still need that merirus, that motivating merirus, to reveal the deeper possibility of joy. That the engine that reveals all of the vessels upon which joy and acceptance and hishtavus are going to settle is motivated by and expressive of that merirus. That merirus that rests in a purified way at the heart of an individual. And in that sense, we could experience the light of Purim, where it's v'nahapaychu, and all of the merirus is transformed into a roimimus, where all of the kalim of bina, which represent that severity in this world, become expansive, and a person comes to find that bina itself is truly the gateway to the deepest understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be'ezras Hashem.
This podcast is supported in part from a grant from the Hadar Institute. The music is by Zusha. The audio engineer is David Kwan. For more from the Shefa Podcast Network, visit our Facebook page and please subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts.